The Cleaner, Episode 2, The Leap, by Inger Gammelgaard Madsen, translated by Martin Reib, narrated by Chris Jenkins for Saga. The sun had already risen when Roland Benito and Mark Holberg drove from Horsens back to the IPGU headquarters in the square by the central train station in Aarhus. Seems like this might be one of the easier emergencies. As far as I can tell, there's no sign of foul play. The two officers seem to have played no part in their death, Mark said, breaking the silence he had maintained since he left the building where the prison guard Julius Habakos had committed suicide by jumping out of his fourth floor window. Perhaps we ought to give a mild critique of the fact that George Marsh let Leif Skovby enter the flat alone while he was talking to the neighbour in the stairwell. The lady who called to complain about the noise. Mark smiled wearily. It's not exactly easy to get away from her once she started talking. We found that out for ourselves. Roland smiled as well. She was quite a character, the almost 80-year-old widow, Asta Berndt. She looked as if she escaped from the classic TV series Matador, even though he couldn't decide which of the elderly female characters she most resembled. Perhaps the notion had simply occurred to him because her home had been decorated much like the sets on the show, with the coloured wallpaper and heavy drapes that had been on vogue in the 1930s, where the show took place. She had pointed out several times that she was clearly not the sensitive type, and that noise did not usually make her call the police, but it had sounded as if something bad was happening. Something had fallen to the floor and broken, and no one opened up when she knocked Julius Habakos' door. But she had not heard anyone arriving or leaving. The two officers had told her that her neighbour had leapt out of his window and died instantly. She was their best witness, since she had been breathing down their necks the entire time, except when Leif Skovby gained access to the flat by kicking down the door, which he did by himself. I wonder if she was lying about the noise. There didn't seem to be anything knocked over or broken. It didn't look as if there had been anything like the chaos she described. Both officers confirmed that the place had been tidy throughout, Mark said, rubbing one of his eyes. Roland was starting to feel the Sandman doing his work on his own eyes as well. I found that a bit puzzling as well. Perhaps the noise she heard came from another flat. She did say that her hearing was not too keen anymore. It would be a strange coincidence if that were the case. We'll have to wait and see what the autopsy of Habakos shows. If he was in a fight, the coroner will find out, Mark promised. Roland parked the car. They had been driving in one of the IPGU cars. He was covering the weekly shift, which meant that he had to drive the car home, so that he would be able to respond quickly if another incident arose. Perhaps. But what about the injuries he sustained after falling 20 metres onto concrete? His face was completely smashed. True, of course. But if he was in a fight and defended himself, there might be DNA traces under his fingernails or other clues. Mark opened the door and got out. He bent down to look at Roland inside the car. At least tomorrow is Saturday and we can sleep in for a bit. Get home safely. Have a nice shift, Roland. You too. Let's hope we have a quiet weekend ahead. Roland switched on the car radio when Mark had said goodnight and shut the door. Though in truth, good morning would have been more accurate. It had been a long day and he found some relaxing music for his drive back to his nice suburban house in Holbier. Mark had been absolutely right. It was lovely that the weekend was here. Angola raised his head slightly from the basket in the kitchen and sluggishly wagged his tail when Roland scratched him behind the ears. Fortunately, he didn't start barking and risk waking up Irene. She only stirred a little bit when he quietly slipped down next to her on the double bed, after a perfunctory visit to the bathroom where he merely washed under his arms and changed his underwear. He set his alarm for 7 a.m. Mariana was due to arrive tomorrow morning. She was going to spend the weekend with her mum's parents. Vicky and Tim had booked a double room.